And now a word from our sponsors at Betterment. If you're listening to my show, you're looking for tips on how to work smarter, not harder. And let's be real, you're already working hard to earn your money, but how do you make sure that your money is working hard for you? Here's how. With a Betterment automated investment and savings app, your money will go to work. They've got technology that will provide you with advanced tools, and they're built to help maximize your returns, not to mention your time. They have expert-built portfolios of low-cost exchange-traded funds. You know I love those exchange-traded funds. There's automated investing technology, and as part of that, automated rebalancing. Many of you have been asking about rebalancing, and it sort of feels like a hard thing to do on your own. With Betterment, easy peasy. They do it for you. Visit Betterment.com to get started. Learn more about high-yield cash accounts at Betterment.com. Investing involves risk. Performance is not guaranteed. Cash reserve offered through Betterment LLC and Betterment Securities. Betterment is not a bank.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Welcome to the Jill on Money Show. It's Wednesday, November 17th. And we are here to try to help all of you make the next best decision in your financial lives. Sometimes you may hear us say like, oh, I wish I would have talked to you when you made the decision to refi or something like that. But if it's already happened, it's already happened. But if you're in the middle of something, maybe it is a refi, maybe it is a question about taking a new job or not and what you should try to do about maybe education funding or whatever it is on your mind financially, we are here for you. The way that you can get in touch with us, the most efficient way, is to go to our website, jillonmoney.com, and click the contact button. And then if you want to come on the air, which we highly recommend, Mark will do the rest. That is what Catherine did. Catherine is on the line. She is with us from the Great Pacific Northwest. So welcome, Catherine. How are you and what can we do for you today?
Hi, thank you so much. I am calling kind of like a lot of your callers to find out how am I doing? Am I on track? I have a little bit of extra income every month, about $475. And I am wondering if I should start putting that towards my kids' education, but I want to make sure retirement is in a good place first before I kind of commit that somewhere else, I guess.
Okay, great. So Catherine, how old are you?
I am 44.
Are you married, partnered?
Married. My husband is 45.
And you guys both work?
Yes.
How much do you guys earn?
Combined, we earn just over $202,000. And then we do get a little rental income, about $24,000 a year.
Okay, great. And so you've got good cash flow based on that. Are you both using retirement plans?
Yes. My husband is a small business owner, so he has a simple IRA, and we max out his annual contribution of $13,500, mm-hmm. and his work provides a 3% match. I work at a public university, so I will receive a pension, and that is split between both a pension and a defined benefit package. I also contribute to my 403B and a 457.
Oh my God. How much are you putting away when you look at your contribution part of it? What are you putting away into that?
My contribution to my 403B, we try to max it. The way my HR has it set up is kind of funny. They won't let you put in a set dollar amount. You have to put a percentage of mm-hmm. your paycheck. So mm-hmm. I can't exactly match it because it never percentages
right, never
out.
Quite right? works, right? right? So you're putting like around $19,500 in the 403B. How much yep. are you putting into the 457?
Right now we put $9,000 a year in the 457.
And are these traditional or Roths?
Both Roth. My husband's simple is a traditional, though.
Do you like what you do at the public university?
I do. The only downfall is my job is completely research-based, which I think is great, but it means it's all funded by what they call soft money or grants. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of operate on a 2 to 4 year window. You know, we get a grant that might last for 2 years, it might last for three. The longest I've ever had is 5. So there's always a little bit of question of hopefully that next grant comes along.
Okay. If you were to stick around, tell me about how the pension would work.
The university contributes for me to the pension, 5.5% of my salary. Currently, my last time I logged in to see what my pension benefit was, I kind of basically said if I were to quit my employment when my current grant ends, but then obviously not take my pension until 65, they had it at about $1,400 a month.
That's pretty good. If that's like where you are today and it's, you only have upside in it, there's no downside.
Yes.
How much money have you saved in the 403B and 457 plans?
The 403B balance currently is at $209,000. And the 457, we just opened a couple of years ago. We just started doing that one. And so it's at about $28,000.
And what about your husband's simple?
$355,000.
That's good. Are there any other investments that you have? We'll talk about the rental in a second, but any other investments that you have, like a non-retirement account or a 529 account for kids?
My husband and I both have Roth IRAs. Mm-hmm. His balance is about $134,000. My balance is $160,000. I inherited a 403B back in 2004. Mm-hmm. Its current balance is at $123,000. And I get an annual distribution from that. I actually just got it 2 days ago, and this year it was $2,600. We also have a brokerage account, and its current balance is at about $126,000. We have an emergency fund at about $53,000. We have another account that is making our current car payments, but it is at just about $34,000. The investment side from my work account is at about $58,000. And then our two college funds, we have one for each kid. One is at $51,000 and one is at $41,000.
Wait a minute. You work at a public university. You get any break on tuition?
If they stayed in our state, I believe I would pay either 20 or 30% tuition.
I like that plan. Stay in that state, girl. Come on. All right. You guys are in amazing shape. So now tell me about the house and the rental property. So first, let's do the rental property. You say you get about $24,000 a year from the rental property. What's the rental property worth?
This is one of the things that confuses me a little bit, I guess. We are a quarter owners in my husband's office building. So overall, they estimate it's probably worth $1.2, $1.3 million. So we kind of figure our share is about $300,000. Mm-hmm. It was the sort of thing that was just presented to us about 2 years ago. One of the previous owners needed to be bought out, and the remaining three did not want to split up their share. So they offered it to us. Okay. So it was just kind of handed to us all of a sudden. And so I never really, it was never a part of my overall financial plan. And so I feel like I don't really know how to think about it. So we receive $2,000 a month in rent for it, but the mortgage payment is only like $1,528. So that's why we have this little bit of extra income. And I don't know, should we?
Oh, I get you. So you're saying that the $24,000 that comes in a year is gross. It's not, it's before you pay the mortgage, right?
Correct. Correct.
Okay. I got it. I got it now. Okay. Very good. How old are the kids?
11 and 14.
Is there any reason why you would have to do something in the building where we should keep you a little bit more liquid and having some cash on hand? Like, you know, that's, you make the mortgage payment, but is there some maintenance? Is there going to be some sort of capital call in any way? Anything like that?
So that's a good question. I don't really understand commercial rentals very well, but my husband explains to me that we have a triple net lease. So basically the business pays for any maintenance, any repairs. So yeah, we don't, I mean, we pay the property tax. That's the only thing, but that's already set aside before we get our payments.
What's with this account for the car? Is there a car loan or is it a lease?
Yeah, so we have a car loan. We got a new car, but we were able to get 0% interest. So we decided what we were going to do was just put the money in the bank and have that make the payments and earn a little money on the side.
Okay. I'm all for putting more money in the 529. It's weird. Like, have you run your retirement numbers actually?
A little bit. I put them in some online calculators.
Yeah, and it comes out like things are great, right?
It comes out like we're on track, but I am kind of a nervous Nelly. So like I always worry while I can, should I be socking more away?
I think that, I mean, it sounds to me like education's important. I mean, could you put more away? Sure. You know, like, yeah, you could, but I don't feel like you need to like make yourself so nutty about this. I really don't. I think you've got plenty of cash on hand. You've got, and I also think, as anybody I know who has like been in this kind of soft dollar situation, usually the people who have like succeeded in that are the people who continue to succeed in that. I know that you want to be conservative, which I understand, but I really do think you're probably looking at a higher pension amount in the future, you know, than that 1400, because I think chances are you're probably going to keep making, you know, being able to get grants and do the work you're going to do. But I'd like that you're being conservative about it. I mean, I think that putting the money into the 529 plan will work. If you feel at all like nervous, I don't want to overfund it, or if like, let's just like play this out a second. Let's say that your oldest does go to the public institution that you're thinking about, right? And you're hoping for. So let's presume that happens. Then you have whatever extra money can just be pushed down to the next kid. And if you end up not using it, then someone can use it for grad school, or you'll pay a penalty and you'll get the money out. So it's not the worst thing in the world. If you had a whole bunch of extra money, or if it became clear that you're sort of, you know, that one of your kids is going to stay in this in-state and you're going to have a lower expense for college, then so be it. Then you can, you know, jam up the money in your retirement later. So I think it's fine. I think that's perfectly fine.
Okay.
And the only other thing is that if you really do feel like you don't want to tie the money up, you could just put it in the brokerage account. You really could. It's not the worst thing in the world either, but I would use the 529. I think you're in good shape. I really do. Do you have any other issues that are like kind of bugging you right now?
I don't hear many people in like the financial podcasts or things that I listen to talk about commercial real estate. Is there anything that we should keep in mind as like moving forward with being a co-owner of this building? Like,
I'll tell you one thing. The only thing to keep in mind is that, you know, what happens to that asset at the end of the day? Is there some sort of agreement that as like you bought this other person out, like what if your husband said, I'm leaving or I'm retiring, what happens to his share? Is there some sort of arrangement set up, a legal arrangement where you have a buy sell agreement that's in place for when someone retires? And if they don't, then I would do that. I would actually have a lawyer kind of deal with that. But the only thing you need to worry about is that, you know, you got a few hundred thousand dollars that's floating out there that's hard to make liquid without some sort of agreement ahead of time.
Okay.
But that's it.
Okay.
You have wills?
Yes.
Do you have life insurance?
Yes.
You're in great shape. You should enjoy it. Stop stressing out so much. You're doing what you need to be doing. You really are. I'll tell you when you need to stress out. You don't need to stress out about this. You're in great shape. You really are. Okay. And if you can just remember this or put this on a loop, just hear this, like, Catherine's husband, you're in very good shape. Don't worry. Don't stress. No stressing. Keep your jobs. Keep doing what you're doing and get those kids to in-state school. Boy, you'll feel a lot less stressed if that's the case. I'll tell you that much, right?
Yeah.
Don't worry. You're really in good shape. So thank you so much for joining us today. If you are a stressor, an anxious kind of person like Catherine, and you want us to hold your hand and give you a little bit of perspective, we can do that. It's not always so great, I gotta tell you. Sometimes we have to tell you things you don't want to hear, but so what? One way or the other, you'll know what to do next. And that's what we hope to do. We hope to guide you to making the next best decision in your financial life. All you need to do is go to JillOnMoney.com and click on the contact button and just let us know what it is that's on your mind. If you want to come on the air, Mark will do all the work. And if you wouldn't mind, could you leave us a rating or a review? You can do that with Apple. And do subscribe to our sister broadcast. It's called Eye on Money. Very easy to do. All right. So do something nice for someone else today. Grit, growth, grace. Thank you for listening, and we will talk to you tomorrow.